welcome to our second episode of Email Marketing with ListTrack. I'm your host, Brent Schroyer, and with me again today is Ross Kramer, President and Chief Evangelist for ListTrack. Hey, Ross.
Hey, Brent. Great to be back here with you again.
Yeah, our second podcast. The first news item I'd like to talk about today is that ListTrack has launched a new version 3.1. Few of the items included in this update are a new bounce processing system, an improved list export wizard, apply suppression list at time of association, active import warning and send, remove excessive bounces from all lists, ability to save graphs as a JPEG, PNG, or PDF, and MSN and Hotmail abuse reporting. Russ, could you expand on and explain some of these updates?
Sure can. Well, Brent, we've been committed to releasing new updates for ListTrack on a quarterly basis for some time now. Perhaps one of the most exciting new features for me is that we've expanded our relationship with Microsoft's Hotmail and MSN groups so that we receive anybody, any complaints out at Yahoo and Hotmail. And this is really great to see Hotmail and MSN taking the step, taking sort of a leadership position and creating a feedback loop so that we can report and remove anybody that is complaining about any campaigns out at Hotmail and MSN. AOL was really the first ISP to implement such a feedback system, and they really it really worked out for AOL well. Their customers saw a reduced amount of spam and unwanted mail into the inbox. Relevancy increased, overall performance increased out there, and everybody really came out as a winner. So we're excited to see that Hotmail and MSN are joining the ranks of the folks that are providing feedback loops. Just as a note, United Online, which is Juno, Net Zero, and Blue Light, also have a system which we've embedded into ListTrack as well. Like you said, we've got some other cool features out there. Our bounce processing system has been totally rewritten from the ground up to handle a lot of the different bounces that we're seeing, and to help our customers be more agile email marketers. So there's a lot more about this out on our website, and for any ListTrack customers that are tuned in, the full release notes as well as a comprehensive webcast have been created all around these new features.
And that leads me to talk about, we've also launched the new front-end site for ListTrack. And you can check that out at listtrack.com. There are many informative white papers we have published available in the resources area of the site.
You know, it's funny, Brent. We've been so focused on building out our core email marketing product that we sort of lost sight of our own kind of marketing website. So the beginning part of 2006, we really buckled down and we said we're gonna create a new site and not only a new site that looks a lot better, but also one that contains a lot more content, relevant content and resources for not only our customers but also the general email marketing community to use. So there's some neat content out there. We've got some nice stuff on deliverability as well as our newest white paper, which is all about why you should outsource your email marketing.
Great. Well, later in the program, we'll continue the webinar audio from last time with a closing Q&A. But before we get to that, I thought it would be great for our audience to hear more about ListTrack and the history of the company. So we're going to do an interview here with Ross. Ross, let's start at the beginning. When and why did you create the company ListTrack and get involved in the world of email marketing?
Well, Brent, it actually was created out of necessity. I'm not sure how many folks know that are tuned in today, but ListTrack is actually owned by our parent company, which is Vertex Internet, a creator of e-commerce and e-business web-based systems. And back in the height of the internet boom, we were actually asked by a number of our customers to create some type of email marketing application that they could create, they could send email newsletters. And so we were going on great throughout the internet, the dot-com ramp up and boom, and everything was going great guns. And all of a sudden, the dot bomb hit, and we said, oh man, what are we going to do now? So we looked at a number of the applications that we had created throughout the dot-com ramp up, and this ListTrack thing just kept on bubbling up. And one of the reasons why we loved it was that it worked for almost every customer that we used it on. Whether they were selling mousetraps or bulldozers, it worked. and it was very pervasive and effective, and at the same time, it was low cost. So that's really why in 2000 and 2001, we decided that we would build out and commercialize ListTrack, and really that's really where we got our start.
Well, over the past couple of years, what kinds of evolution have you seen in the email marketer's landscape?
Well, we've definitely gotten better at delivering our message and in the technologies that we're using to create messages and manage our lists and deliver them. From an overall perspective, I think that some of the deliverability challenges have forced the industry in a good way to get more relevant. The fact that AOL will block your campaigns because people are reporting you as spam has forced marketers to be have better practices not only in their acquisition stages but also within their content mix. So some of the changing landscape in the deliverability has forced marketers to become more relevant, which has turned into greater ROI as we've gotten smarter at doing our email marketing efforts.
Well, going right along with that, there are many challenges in the world of email marketing. Many of them come down to deliverability and just getting the email into the inbox. How has ListTrack addressed those issues?
The issue of deliverability has been one of the key issues that we've focused on primarily within our research and development efforts in the past 2 to 3 years. One of the things that ListTrack absolutely strives to achieve and is absolutely essential from an email services provider perspective is transparency. We try to be as transparent as possible. You might be asking yourself, well, what does that mean? That means we are trying to mask our identity as much as possible. Any ESP and casts a fairly large shadow on the internet, meaning that as a group, we send a lot of email. It's important for us to be able to give our customers a dedicated IP address, allow our customers to use a dedicated domain name for their links and their click-throughs, as well as their landing pages and things like that, as well as their own customized, what we call a bounce domain or a mailing domain that they can use. So as much as possible, we want to stay transparent so that there's no visible marks that the campaign was actually sent from ListTrack. We want to make sure that the campaigns going out through our network look like they came from our customers. And that's going to lead to higher deliverability for each of our individual customers.
There's a wide range in the experience level of people looking to do email marketing. From the beginning novice to the email marketing expert who requires information down to the individual subscriber, how does ListTrack address these various user levels?
Well, Brent, no matter what skill level you're coming from as a marketer, one thing is consistent. People want to receive relevant content in their inbox. So what we're really trying to help marketers achieve is understand who they're mailing to, what types of outcomes they're looking to receive from their email marketing programs, and then we marry those two up and really show our customers how they can get the highest ROI by delivering relevant content through the email channel.
For ad agencies and interactive marketing companies that would like to use ListTrack for their own clients, there's a private label option. Could you explain this?
You bet. This was something that we really focused on in our 3.0 release, which was released in October of 2005. We wanted to create a branded experience for our partners, and we wanted to create, in developing our new graphical user interface, we wanted the ability for any of our partners to totally skin or present their brand on top of the ListTrack core engine. So what you're seeing now when you log into ListTrack is a CSS or cascading style sheets based graphical user interface that any customer or partner can actually apply their own skin on top of that. So anything from fonts to icons to any graphics to colors, the URL can be changed, and we can even mask the ListTrack name and have it replaced with our own customers or partners' name. So definitely a neat feature that was baked into the core piece of our 3.0 product.
So it kind of makes ListTrack become their own product in a way.
You better believe it.
Personally, what are some of your favorite features of ListTrack?
One of the neatest features I think that we've got going on right now, and this was a new feature in 3.0, is our geo-tracking. This is something that is really unique to ListTrack. From my research, I can't find anybody else that's doing it. And essentially, what we're doing with geo-tracking is we're taking all of the performance data that we're collecting in terms of messages opened, messages read, which is open for 5 seconds or more, which is also fairly unique to us. We're also looking at click-through data. And then we're matching that data up with geo-IP, IP meaning IP address data, that we purchased from a third party. So we're taking that data, marrying it together, and then plotting it on a map. So within really minutes of sending out your email campaign, you can see where people in the world are opening, reading, and clicking through, which is really cool if you're in a specific business or industry where targeting people geographically makes sense. So this is probably one of my favorite features at this time.
And how far down can you drill in the geo-tracking?
Well, this is something that we're working on because we weren't sure what the reception was going to be with geo-tracking. Currently, you can only drill down to the state level. So we've got some code in the works right now where we're going to allow you actually drill down to the MSA level, which is the metropolitan statistical area. But right now you can drill down to the state level, which is still something really cool to see.
Great. Well, now that version 3.1 has launched, what new features can we look for in the future updates to the ListTrack system?
Since October, Brent, we've been really busy working on our 4.0 release. And 4.0 is going to bring to light some really exciting new features for the ListTrack application. The first of which that we're working on is something we're calling event-triggered messaging. And that's event-triggered messaging is really going to deliver on the promise of true one-to-one marketing. Right now, still in a broad sense, we're seeing the world of email marketing is still one-to-many, sort of a mass mailing. The industry is shifting, and we're shifting and changing with the industry. And right now, we've got some really killer technology happening in our labs right now in terms of event-triggered messaging. We're also going to be expanding our dynamic content feature, as well as expanding our reporting features to include some more dashboard-style reporting. And something that we're all going to be seeing by summertime is a ListTrack plugin for Salesforce.com. So we're going to be able to actually be trading data back and forth with your Salesforce.com. So if your existing Salesforce is using Salesforce.com, and they've got leads within Salesforce.com or prospects or whatever. Within Salesforce.com, you'll be able to go right into your Salesforce.com account, grab that data out of there, deploy a ListTrack campaign, collect all of the important performance metrics, and ListTrack will automatically synchronize that performance data, opens, reads, clicks, bounces, unsubs, whatever it is. We're going to synchronize that right back into your Salesforce.com account without having to do anything at all.
What are your predictions on the future of email marketing and where it's going?
I think that event-triggered messaging is really where it's going to be happening. Again, this is all about delivering on the promise of true one-to-one interactions with your customers or one-to-one interactions with your prospects, understanding what they've done and the preferences that they're looking to receive and things like that. So I see more one-to-one style communications becoming really prevalent within our industry and really helping to boost that return on investment that everybody's really chasing after.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Ross. For more information on ListTrack, visit listtrack.com, that's L-I-S-T-R-A-K, and sign up for a guided tour. Now let's listen into the final portion of the webinar, the closing Q&A.
We had a question here about what words to use or to stay away from, for example, save, free, etc. My recommendation is, number one, make sure you're using a product. If you're using an ASP such as ListTrack, make sure you're using their content scoring tool to understand what words to use. I think the words that you're using today are less. You don't have to be as picky about the words that you're using, because a lot of the top ISPs are using complaints as their number one way for blocking. But I would, the big takeaway that I like to give is test. Get your seed list at AOL, get your seed list at Yahoo, at MSN, understand the demographics of your list, and then test your campaign to make sure that, those campaigns are showing up in the inbox and not being filtered by the junk mail filter. So that would be my takeaway there, is just to make sure that you're testing. Another question that we had is, what's the best length for your subject line? Should I put my company name in the subject line? Definitely recommend putting your company name in the subject line. It's one of our four message imperatives. Best length for the subject line is what I would do is I would look at the current subject length that you're receiving in your inbox right now. Understand what those lengths of those subject lines are. How does it look like in your email client? Shoot out to AOL, shoot out to Yahoo, shoot out to MSN, and see what they look like there. We definitely are seeing that there's more, as far as the subject line goes, people read obviously from left to right, and there's more time spent on the left part of your subject line than on your right part of your subject line. So I would weigh the words that you use heavily towards the subject line, and use the most important words further left in your subject line than further right. So we also had a question, and the question was, please define bounce threshold and who sets the limits. I can only speak to how we do it in ListTrack, but in ListTrack, essentially we say, remove a user from a list after X number of bounces. And that is definable, that is set by the list administrator. So the ListTrack customer can say, please remove a user after X number of bounces. We also have a grace period in there so that, let's say you set a threshold of, say, 5. I believe 5 is our default. So if you mail to a person once and it bounces, and you mail to a person the second time and it bounces, say due to a content filter issue, if the third time you mail to them and the person opens the message, we'll reset their current bounce to 0. And that's important so you're not removing people due to false positives on different spam filters. We have a question here from Chip. Chip asked, what was dimensional mail? This was referenced in the average direct marketing response rates from the DMA survey. Dimensional mail is, as the DMA will tell you, one of the best ways to get direct response rates. Dimensional mail are tubes. They're actual packages. Essentially, it's anything that ships in three dimensions that through the postal service. So that's what dimensional mail is. Obviously, it comes at a much higher cost than traditional direct mail, as well as, of course, email marketing. But marketers have found that to have the highest response rates of all direct response marketing. We also, from Richard, what's the recommended lead time for an email campaign promoting an event? We found that, you know, with the studies that we showed, with the 72% of clicks actually coming in the day that the campaign sent, you can, you know, you're going to see a lot of response right away. Obviously, it's going to depend upon you how much lead time you want to have for an event. And that's really going to come down to personal preference. But one of the things that you're going to see is the responses that you're going to get. And I know this stands to reason for the campaign that we did promoting our own webinar here, was that we got a ton of signups within the first couple hours of sending out the campaign, and then it really trickled off from there. Here's a question from Amy. Amy asks if we have an opinion about reblasting a same campaign to those that open or even those that didn't open the original email. And this really comes down to personal preference. I think you're probably going to receive mixed results from different, you know, different marketers are going to come back with different results to this question. I think it really depends on how closely you're managing your brand how tightly you're managing your content mix. I personally would like to see some type of change in the content. What we have seen through our own marketing is that we've seen that people are responding on our house list due to different types of channels of delivery. For example, we had a really great response on this webinar, a much higher response than we've had on our quarterly newsletter, which has said, which kind of told us, hey, these the people that are on our list and the guys that are still on this call right now, y'all are interested in receiving content, and this content's really good. So I would recommend perhaps changing up some content a little bit, possibly changing the subject line. Just a flat out reblast, I think, is a little bit too elementary, especially due to the tools and technologies that we have today. So I'd at least tweak the subject line by changing the offer a little bit, or at least the time limit, and take it from there. Oh, we've got another. We got another question from Lee with regards to getting a separate domain name for both the email and the link. Lee asked, does it make a difference if the mailing domain is the same as the subject subdomain? The first thing I would recommend doing is definitely using a different mailing domain from your application service provider. I can tell you that ListTrack is your trusted email delivery provider. We're going to get you a much higher deliverability than if you're doing it yourself. However, the default click-through links that we use cast a very large shadow across the internet. We're delivering about 25 million pieces of mail a month. That's a lot of mail to be delivered, and that default click-through link for the folks that aren't implementing it shows up at a lot of different places. So we definitely recommend using a separate domain name and embedding that within your campaign creative. We can tell you that the domain name that you're using is going to generate a reputation on the internet, and with some of these new reputation databases that are going to be emerging in the next couple years. I'm not sure if it makes a difference that your mailing domain is different than the domain that you use in your links. I can tell you, for example, and I know that you had subdomain in your question, AOL does respect subdomain. So, for example, if they're blocking www1.abccorp.com, I can tell you at AOL that www2.abccorp.com will go through. That subdomains are a possible way of segmenting yourself at AOL. However, at Yahoo disregards the subdomain with their blocking, and they're looking at the actual root domain name, like an abccorp.com. So, for example, if your ASP is telling you, you know, if you're using ABC ESP, and you're like, you know, Joe Schmo at ABC, you know, email service provider company.com, at Yahoo, you're going to be tossed into the junk mail filter if the ASP is blocked there. So I would just recommend getting yourself a separate domain name and not focusing on the subdomains. And I'm looking around to see if there's any other questions. I see there's one more or two more. Two more questions, and this question comes from Steven, and he asked, if renting email lists are not effective, how would a company go about acquiring new email addresses, and which ways are the most effective? This really goes back to my acquisition strategies, but again, a couple different ways to do it is, the first thing and probably the easiest step is to exploit your existing processes. Any type of existing processes that you've got going on, you want to exploit them. So if you're a retailer, you want that 4x6 card at point of purchase. You want to make sure that you're using your website to work really hard. Tweak and tune your landing pages. I know the folks at Marketing Sherpa have a guide on landing pages where they do heat map studies and they really dissect landing pages. I would recommend giving that particular research article a read through, because it can really help you boost the amount of new subscriptions that you're getting. So that's effective. Advertising in a publisher's email newsletter can be an effective way of getting subscriptions as well. We didn't talk about email append. But that could also be one way to boost your list is using an email append. And the contacts that we've got on the WebEx slides right now can give you some more information about that. Deb asks, what's an acceptable frequency for a manufacturer whose products and customers may use say 12 times a year? Frequency is definitely a tricky question. There's no doubt about that because there's no right or wrong answer about frequency. But the only wrong frequency that I could say is that by being too infrequent with your campaigns, you could potentially lead to some deliverability problems because people can actually forget who you are and then report you as spam. So infrequency problems can sometimes occur as well. I would say, what I like to say is that you want to match your frequency with your content mix. As long as you're keeping your customers engaged with relevant content and content that's warranted and it's anticipated and they want to receive it, you can be as frequent as you want. So you really want to focus on your content mix for your frequency. Your customers are going to be telling you if you're mailing too often. And the two metrics that you can use to understand if you're mailing too often is your unsubscribe rate. That's going to show you if you're mailing too often and your content is off base. And your open rates are going to show you if you're still relevant, but your content is stale. If you're seeing declining open rates through your mailing, that's saying that your content is stale and the information that you're sending through your email campaigns aren't engaging your customers enough. And finally, John writes, is there someone you can point to as an example that does a great job of using email to advertise an event? Event marketers. Trying to understand who's doing a good job in this space for live events. And I'm kind of scratching my head right now in terms of who's doing a good job and who has engaged me. I think when doing a live event, there's a couple of key metrics that you need to do. One of the things that we found is you're obviously going to get, you've got two different rates when doing a live event. You've got your conversion rate or the number of people that are responding to your offer to register for that live event. Then you've got your rate of people that actually show up for the event. We've found email marketing to be a great tool to increase the rate of people who show up because it's so cost effective and because you can deliver a lot of campaigns to that person in a reminder fashion. So it's a good question. You've kind of stumped me there in terms of somebody who's doing a good job. I receive a heck of a lot of email, and I'm kind of scratching my head in terms of who's doing a good job in terms of live events. But I think the key takeaways for what you want to do when delivering live events is to number one, make sure that your first campaign is well crafted so that you've got that offer out there to attend the event, that you've got enough frequency in there to remind the people, that you've got a day of event reminder happening to have them attend, or if it's a travel type of event, day before or so, and then make sure that you're following up with well-timed communications afterwards to keep people engaged.
And that will wrap up our final segment of the webinar. Email us at podcast@listtrack.com with any of your comments, questions, or topics you would like to hear us discuss on the show. Ross, any closing comments?
None for me. Thanks again for listening in, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on our second podcast of Email Marketing with ListTrack. I'm Brent Schroyer, and we'll talk to you next time.